receiving a diagnosis. The news of your child's brain tumour diagnosis will come as a shock. It can be difficult to process this information and it might feel overwhelming. This section will guide you through some of the first steps after receiving a diagnosis, such as seeking support, asking the right questions, talking to your child's teachers, and advocating for your child. First reactions. As you try to understand what's happening to your child, you could experience a wide range of emotions. Common reactions can include disbelief, shock, or a sense of the situation being unreal, as if you're in a fog. The need to be in action mode, researching and creating plans. Intense sadness and despair. Guilt about when and how you reached out for help, or worry about the future. These reactions may come and go, and you may move into different reactions and ways of coping at different times. There is no wrong way. You might experience physical symptoms such as jelly legs, trouble with sleep, a racing heart, or feeling exhausted. All of these are very normal, and you may experience all or none of these and move back and forth between them. It might feel like your child's diagnosis has taken away the life you had expected you would have. The term grief is usually associated with a death, but humans grieve many losses. The diagnosis may come with a change in your child's opportunities, leaving you wondering what their future could look like. You may be grieving for a lost future you had imagined for your child. When your child is diagnosed with a brain tumour, you may be confronted with the possibility of their death and grieve the worry-free life that you had previously. While your focus will be on the next steps for your child's treatment, it's useful to have some understanding of how the experience could affect the emotions and mental health of you and your family. Living through the experiences that led to your child's diagnosis, as well as receiving the diagnosis, can be traumatic. In this sense, trauma is a term used to describe what happens when a distressing event is stored in a particular way in your brain and in your body. This can feel like situations are stuck in your head, where you replay them in your mind, or that you need to retell certain stories over and over. Other signs that an experience has been traumatizing include avoiding reminders of the experience, trouble with sleep, and a feeling of being unable to relax. Experiencing some level of these symptoms is expected. There are things you can do to help reduce these symptoms, regardless of whether they have reached a level to be considered a problem. Things that may help to reduce these symptoms include focusing on slow and steady breathing when you're anxious, telling your story when you feel you need to, and listening to your body about what it might need. There are also specific types of therapy that help process traumatic events, which are effective and recommended by the World Health Organization. And there's more information about emotions and support later on in this book. One mum whose son had brain cancer wanted to share this quote with you. Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is a little voice at the end of the day that says, "I'll try again tomorrow." Communication with your healthcare team. Families say that there are often feelings of anxiety about placing your child's health in the hands of a healthcare team whom you've only just met. Your healthcare providers are there to help, and most families find they develop a good relationship with their team over time. Ask any questions, raise any concerns, tell them if something doesn't feel right, and share any information that you feel will help to build this relationship. The healthcare team are very familiar with supporting families in crisis and understand that lots of families struggle to hear and understand information when they are under stress. It is important to understand the information as best you can, as this can help when you have to make decisions.
Here are some strategies that other families have found useful.
Asking questions. No question is too silly. If you're thinking of a question, chances are someone else has thought about it before too. Your team will be familiar with a lot of your questions and will be able to answer them. If they cannot answer them straight away, they'll find out an answer and get back to you. It's important to ask about any alternative or complementary medicines or therapies that you're curious about or that your child is taking. Your team want to support you to make informed decisions about what is best for your child. Speak up. If you're worried about something or you've noticed a change, let your team know. It's better to get it checked out than regret not saying anything. You know your child best. So if something doesn't seem typical or has you worried, that is important information for your team. You are in the best position to notice things about your child. Getting answers in writing. It is useful to request information in writing. Your healthcare team may already have suitable websites for information or brochures to give you. They can also support you in how you share this information with other people who need to know what is going on, such as family, school, work, or your social community. It's common to not be able to take in all the information that's given to you in one appointment or discussion. This could be because the information is new and contains a lot of unfamiliar words, or because the topic is emotional and you may not be able to focus the whole time. Your healthcare team are familiar with this and will support you to understand in whatever way you need. Don't feel silly about asking for information to be repeated, written down, asking to record notes on your phone, or ask for the information to be provided differently. Some families find it useful to have a support person come with them to appointments who can help them take in and understand the information. Information on the internet. One of the first things many people do when they want to understand something is research online. While this is very usual and can be helpful, there is a lot of unreliable information on the internet. And sometimes too much time online can actually make your anxiety worse. You should always ask yourself questions when researching online, such as, who is the source of this information? What evidence do they have for their position? Is it different to other information I've heard, and why might that be? Sorting through information can be overwhelming. It can be useful to start by searching known, reliable websites rather than general searching online. One of these relevant to pediatric and adolescent brain tumours in Australia is childrenscancer.canceraustralia.gov.au, and there's other websites that can be found in the digital or print copy of this handbook. Another way to improve communication with your healthcare team is to keep a journal. A journal can be a helpful way to track symptoms or medications and to write down questions you want to ask your healthcare team. Keeping these in one place can be helpful so that you remember what to ask. Writing down questions helps them to stop going around and around in your head, meaning you can take them off your mental to-do list. You might like to have one place to write them down or keep your questions on your phone or email so that you can add to these whenever you want. Who you might meet in the hospital. Your child's healthcare team will include professionals with specific knowledge about helping families with brain tumours. Here are some professions you might meet. Medical staff or doctors. Your child will have a consultant or senior staff specialist in charge of their care. A consultant has reached a high level of specialisation. When they specialise in cancer care, they are called oncologists. You may come across an oncologist who specialises in cancers of the brain and central nervous system, called a neuro-oncologist. Your consultant will be in charge of your child's treatment. Often they are the one that will tell you about the diagnosis, plan their treatment, and talk to you about test results. Consultants are rostered on the wards at different times. If your child is admitted to the ward but your consultant is not rostered on, your child will be cared for by another consultant. The covering consultant will make sure your consultant is updated on any important changes. Surgeons work with the consultant to perform surgery as part of the treatment plan. A surgeon who specialises in brain surgery is called a neurosurgeon. A fellow is a senior doctor who is training to become a consultant or senior staff specialist. A registrar is a doctor who is receiving further training towards becoming a fellow. Registrars work under the direction of consultants and fellows. Registrars rotate to different specialties every 6 months to gain experience working with different health conditions. A resident is a qualified junior doctor. They rotate through different areas of healthcare approximately every 3 months to gain experience working with different health conditions. A psychiatrist provides support through medication for mental health. While in hospital, if needed, a consultant liaison psychiatrist will partner with your healthcare team to provide medical mental health treatment for your child, like medication for mood, anxiety, sleep, or behaviour. When a brain tumour affects how your child sees, a neuro-ophthalmologist will assess and manage visual difficulties. They specialise in the relationship between neurological diseases, that is, diseases that affect the brain, like brain cancer, and visual problems. A radiologist is a medical doctor who interprets scans and medical imaging results, such as MRIs and CT scans, to assist in making a diagnosis. Nursing staff you might meet in hospital. A nurse practitioner, or NP, is a highly specialised nurse who is trained and licensed to diagnose and treat health conditions, including prescribing medicine, within their field of expertise. A clinical nurse consultant, or CNC, is a specialist nurse with expertise in their chosen area. They're involved in providing education to you, your child, and your family, care coordination, and liaising between hospital and community-based services. In some hospitals, these nurses may be called different names, including clinical nurse specialist and cancer care coordinator. The nurse unit manager, often referred to as a NUM, oversee the running of a clinical area, such as a ward or outpatient department. They oversee patient care and nursing staff in their area. Nursing team leaders are responsible for the coordination of care during a particular shift, so may be in charge of a ward when the NUM is not working. And there are different levels of nurses who work across wards and outpatient departments to provide the day-to-day care of your child. These include registered nurses, or RNs, enrolled nurses, or ENs, and assistants in nursing. Each level has particular responsibilities of care they are trained in and licensed to undertake. Allied health staff. Healthcare providers who provide specialist advice but are not medical doctors or nurses are called allied health. This includes physiotherapists, occupational therapists, social workers, nutritionists, psychologists, and many others. These professionals will be brought in to provide care for your child when it's required. If you feel like your child needs an allied health professional, you can ask your oncologist for a referral to the service. You may also need these services when you are home in the community, and can ask your hospital team for a referral to these. Some commonly used allied health services are audiologists, who specialise in assessing and preventing hearing disorders and help those with hearing difficulties. Hearing loss can happen because of the location of the brain tumour or certain chemotherapy treatments. Audiologists will monitor your child's hearing during treatment and offer recommendations for improving communication and hearing aids if needed. Making sure your child can hear as well as possible can help their speech development, learning, and overall quality of life. Some hospitals have child life therapists who use play-based methods to help children with hospital care. Child life therapists can support your child to feel ready for procedures, in coping with worries about procedures, and to understand and get used to life in hospital or treatment. In some hospitals, these tasks are undertaken by occupational therapists, or OTs. Dietitians have education in nutrition, or what we need to eat to be healthy. Children with brain tumours may experience problems eating a healthy diet, and dietitians can help address these challenges. They conduct assessments of your child's nutritional needs and provide counselling and education to address problems with their nutrition. If needed, they can come up with ideas to overcome these problems and improve your child's well-being. Music therapists use music to support emotional coping, function, and health. Sessions can include listening to and moving to music, writing and recording songs, and music making. Music therapy is a valuable part of the overall program to support your child and is often a part of treatment that brings joy. Occupational therapists, or OTs, focus on supporting patients to undertake occupations of daily life, such as play, movement, brushing teeth, or having medical procedures. They help with physical aspects, like providing splints or physical exercises, as well as social and emotional aspects, such as training in relaxation and social skills. In hospital, the pharmacist will manage all the medications your child needs. They will visit you in the ward to understand what medication your child has taken before and give advice. When your child is discharged, the pharmacist will make sure you have a supply of the medications you need and a clear list of what medications your child is taking and how to take them. Physiotherapists support the function of your child's body through movement. They can support with maintaining muscle and mobility during treatment and reaching movement goals in rehabilitation when your child is home in the community. Hospital-based psychologists provide care for your child's mental health through talking therapy. Psychology support is also available in the community for times outside of hospital and for other family members. Psychologists can help with issues like anxiety, depression, trauma, motivation, and mood changes. Psychologists can diagnose specific mental health issues, but problems don't need to be severe to start receiving help. Neuropsychologists specialise in supporting changes in thinking, behaviour, and emotion that result from an injury to the brain. Radiation therapists or radiographers undertake scans and medical imaging, such as MRIs, as well as providing radiation therapy targeting the tumour where this is necessary. Social workers provide individual, family and group therapy to support children and families coping with the diagnosis and treatment of a brain tumour. They help address practical concerns, such as financial stress or employment issues, and provide counselling to assist in adjusting to the diagnosis and its impact. Social workers also connect families with community resources, support services, and educational assistance for siblings, parents, and other family members. They can help navigate the medical system and plan for hospital discharge and the resources or support you need once you're back home. Speech pathologists support patients in addressing issues with speech, language, and eating. This can include temporary issues such as mouth ulcers that might interfere with eating, as well as long-term issues relating to changes in speech or eating from the effects of the tumour or treatment. Welfare officers work in conjunction with hospital social workers and focus on the financial aspects of treatment. They can support with travel arrangements, accessing Centrelink, and referring to useful services during financial hardship. If your child is aged 15 to 25, in some states they can additionally be supported by youth cancer services. These services are integrated within your hospital health team and include medical, senior nursing, and allied health services that specialise in this age group. Administration staff are often the first people you'll meet in hospital. They provide professional services which make your visit to hospital as smooth as possible, such as making sure your details are correct and your medical records get to where they need to be. They will help with making appointments, contact between the hospital and your GP, and with forms for travel, consent, and insurance. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families can be additionally supported through an Indigenous liaison. Ask a member of your healthcare team to be connected with this service. If you have difficulties with English or are hearing impaired, interpreter services are available to ensure you have easy communication with your healthcare team. These can be provided face-to-face, via video conference, or by phone. Ask a member of your healthcare team to be connected. Operational staff in food service, cleaning, and portering, or moving patients around the hospital, are other important parts of your hospital stay. These staff often get to know your child and become part of the hospital community you know. Pastoral care workers or hospital chaplains are community clergy who provide religious or spiritual care. They're specially trained to support people going through health crisis and can talk to you about moral and ethical challenges that might come up during treatment. Chaplains offer spiritual and religious care within a multi-faith setting and can provide specific rituals, prayers, or celebrations upon request. Ask a member of your healthcare team to be connected with the service. Getting a second opinion. Families should feel they have all the information and freedom to make informed decisions about their child's healthcare. Sometimes this includes asking for a second opinion. If you would like a second opinion, your doctor can arrange a referral and to share information with the other doctor. Your doctor understands how important and difficult the decisions you are making are, and that families need to ensure they have considered all their options. You shouldn't feel awkward or guilty about asking for a second opinion. An open discussion with your doctor about this will allow them to understand your perspective. It might allow them an opportunity to clarify any points where you hold different opinions and will allow them to further explain the reasons they are recommending a particular course of action. Time may also be a factor in decision making. If the second opinion is different from the first, both doctors should be able to explain how they have come to their recommendation. An open conversation will allow all opinions, benefits, and risks to be considered.